It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain.
Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm glad you're with us today. It's Friday. Fridays are always good days. If I could just get you to block out the distractions and the busyness and all those thoughts ping-ponging around in your head and just listen for what the Holy Spirit is going to speak into your heart today, because He's always looking to. It's just whether we're receptive or not. And over these previous two shows, we've been starting to dig into this whole idea of a paradigm and perspective shift, a massive paradigm and perspective shift where we move from shame to shalom, where we move from all willpower to joy power. And we'll tease that out some more in today's show. But let me first remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. And our website is 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. We've got past radio shows. You really should pick those previous two shows up to get the foundation for what we're talking about. You can always also Google us or find us on podcasts. And we're also on sermonaudio.com. We also on that website, 721ministries.org, we've got exercises you can take. We've got posters and things you can download with a video explanation of those. So go check us out at 721ministries.org. And our sister website is puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com. We write weekly devotionals and post them on that site. We've got two Putting Green devotional books that we keep getting really, really strong reviews and comments. So I would encourage you to go there and check that out, puttinggreenblog.com. Now, in the last two shows, I asked these three questions. The first one, if you were to read only Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22, what would you conclude the Bible is all about? What is God's main storyline? And the answer is shalom. Now, you're going to have to go back and pick up those two shows or go to the Putting Green and start looking at our different Putting Green devotionals. But that was God's intent. It is His intent, and it's His intent for your life. Last week, I asked the question, what would you like most to be true about the law? And again, go back and listen. But if I were being honest, I'd say, well, I hope the law doesn't even apply anymore. And if it does apply, it doesn't apply to me. And even if it does apply to me, my sins are just misdemeanors, not felonies. God kind of looks at me like I might look at a little son and kind of just say, I'm going to rub his head and say, well, he's just a boy being a boy. You know, it's not that big a deal. Or I might want it to be that God grades on the curve. So if the law is really even still the law, then it means I'm okay because I'm sure doing better than most people. So if I had that my way, that would be what I would want to be true about the law. But what we started with last week was that the law, if I put it in quotation marks, is a bad translation. When you read the law in the scriptures, especially throughout the Old Testament, the actual word is the Torah, T-O-R-A-H, the Torah, or the Torah. And the Torah means teachings. The Torah means God's way to live. Now, the implications of this, if you have a proper understanding, can, and I would say should, bring about a massive paradigm and perspective shift in your approach to your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Because the term the law, tell me if you're not tracking with me on this, the term the law conjures up thoughts and images of performance. And that just, performance just takes me back to shame and condemnation, because my performance is never going to measure up. But Jesus, when He said, I have not come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill it, He actually said, I have not come to abolish the Torah, but I've come to fulfill it. Jesus taught and lived the Torah, God's teachings, God's way to live. Now, His perspective moves me towards shalom. You see, I want to follow Jesus' teachings. I want to, and I see the wisdom in following His way to live. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it, didn't He? I am the way. So, if I'm seeking shalom, if I'm seeking to follow Jesus' way, then I'm going to follow Him right towards shalom, God's original intent for me. But if I'm trying to perform under the rules of something called the law, then you know as well as I that I'm constantly sliding backwards towards shame and condemnation. One is I got to, one is I get to, one is I need to, one is I want to. One is a blessing, one is a burden, one is about freedom, one is about fear. Now, one important note, so that I don't get 100 emails branding me a heretic, I'm not going soft on sin, I am going hard on shame. I'm not going soft on sin, I'm going hard on shame. I am not seeking to ignore sin, no, not at all, but I'm seeking to defeat shame and condemnation. Oswald Chambers, in his September 18th devotion, in My Utmost for His Highest, he's talking about Satan. He says, he does not come to us on the premise of tempting us to sin, but on the premise of shifting our point of view. He's trying to get you to see that, to think that it's all about performance, that your Heavenly Father is really a school principal. He's not a papa, He's a principal. And all He cares about is your performance. I saw this quotation and used it last week from Anais Nin. We don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. And then I read in this article about the placebo effect in medicine, this statement, one of the key elements of the placebo effect is the way expectations shape our experiences. So if you expect performance, if you're all about performance, then you're going to live under shame. And so are, sadly, so are the people around you. And that's going to dictate your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Instead of shalom, it's going to be about shame. It's going to be about performance instead of pleasing. And I hope that that doesn't transfer to your family and the people around you. Shalom. Acts 17:28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. That's shalom. Shalom is Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, Jesus said, then your whole body would be full of light. That's shalom. That's shalom. And remember, good is actually translated generous. So if your eyes are generous, your heart is generous, your whole body will be full of light. That's shalom. But Matthew 6:23, but if your eyes are dark, and that word really means suspicious and stingy, that's living under shame. Jesus said your whole body will be full of darkness, and great goodness, how great is that darkness. Shalom is a relational and physical paradise. Shalom is a relational and physical paradise. That's God's intent in creation. It's His intent in the new creation. It's His intent for you now. But shame is a relational and physical performance world. Now, I had one of our men say, well, okay, Sam, oh, that's all fine and dandy. But Genesis 1 and 2 is in the past. And Revelation 21 and 22 is in the future. I live in Genesis 3. I live in a sinful, fallen world. That's really good that it was God's creation in the past, and it's really good. But what does that do for me now? How would you answer that question? Why am I even talking about all this? I am simply following Jesus' lead. Because He said, if you will remember, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is here now. It's all around you. You can live in it now. My friend who asked that question is allowing Satan to distract him and divert him into thinking that he lives in Genesis 3 when Jesus said no. Yes, that is the world. We are in the almost, we're in the here, but not quite fully yet. But you can shift your perspective. You can shift your paradigm. You can live the full life. Jesus, Jesus said in Matthew 17, "Now do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets." Of course, instead of the law, he said the Torah or the prophets. "I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." John 10, 9 and 10. "I have come so that you may have life and life to the full." So Jesus' point is what I'm following. And that is, yes, you can live in the kingdom now. Jesus said, "My yoke, my teachings, my way of living, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am the way to the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light." Jesus was against performance. And that was, if you think about it, that's what he railed against over and over with the very top performers of his day, the Pharisees, who were well-intentioned, but they were all about performance, or many of them were. In Matthew 23, he goes into this series of woes. And I don't want to be on the wrong end of Jesus' woes. And in verse 4, he says, talking about the Pharisees and the high performers, he says, "They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." It's all about willpower. It's all about a burden. There's no blessing in there. It's about willpower, not joy power. And then he levels what is perhaps the worst accusation, the worst woe that he can in verse 13. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." You don't allow people to find shalom. You have them so mixed up under performance. Think about it this way. God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit the Spirit, all in the Trinity. God comes out of the Trinity. He comes into the temple, and man goes to the temple to be with God. God gives us the Torah, and he tells us how to live with him. Jesus comes out of the Trinity, and he comes out of the temple to be with man. And Jesus lived the Torah for us, showing us how to live it, not just telling us, but showing us. Then the Holy Spirit comes out of the Trinity, bypasses the temple altogether, and rather than being with us, he is in us to help us actually live the Torah, to live shalom with him in us. God with us, Jesus with us, now the Holy Spirit in us, all designed to help us find shalom, to find that harmony and that balance, that loving relationship, that joy power, not willpower. I'm Sam Hunter. We'll be right back. This is 721 Live. Welcome back to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad you're with us. We are really digging in deep here. Hold on, because we're exploring what I think for a lot of you will be new ground. Living under shalom, not performance. Seeking the Torah, not the law. The law is a bad translation. The Torah, God's teachings, God's way of living. That's joy power, not willpower. Now let's just continue to move forward with this. The Ten Commandments that we find first in Exodus 20. Jesus would not have called them the Ten Commandments. The Hebrews did not call them the Ten Commandments. The Jews did not call them the Ten Commandments. They call them the Ten Words. Because at the beginning in Exodus 20, verse 1, "And God spoke all these words." That's how Jesus would have referred to it. Not the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, which were the beginning of the Torah. God's teachings, his way to live. I want to give you a little backdrop on this, a little context on this. The law, actually, the Torah, was given on Mount Sinai. You can read about it in Exodus 19 and 20. 49 days after Passover, after they had had the Exodus out of Egypt, that's when the giving of the Ten Words and the beginning of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. 49 days, 7 weeks after they exited Egypt, after Passover. Pentecost, was a Jewish celebration that was 50 days after Passover. And Pentecost celebrated the giving of the Torah, of the 10 words. Pentecost, to the Jews, was called the Feast of Shavuot. In English, we call it the Feast of Weeks. It was celebrating the wheat harvest. The interesting thing about Pentecost, the Feast of Shavuot, was that it was only one day. All the other festivals were a week. But this one was one day, and it was to celebrate the giving of the Torah, of the 10 words. Now, think about this for a moment. What was happening on Mount Sinai at the giving of the 10 words? There was wind, there was rumbling, there was thunder, there was energy. I mean, it was a lot of God energy bumping around that place. What happened on Pentecost? Wind, rumbling, power, energy. Do you think that Peter and the other boys missed that connection? That they're all together. Now, I think it's almost for certain they were not in a house. They were at the temple. They referred to the temple as the house. They were probably on Solomon's porch. Luke tells us that they went there every day. It explains how people could come rushing up to them. But do you think that these people missed the exact correlation, the replication of the giving of the Torah to the giving of the Holy Spirit? Isn't that mind-blowing? Mount Sinai, the giving of the Torah, the 10 words to begin with, 49 days after the Passover. The Jews start celebrating the Feast of Shavuot, which we call Pentecost, one-day festival, 50 days after Passover, celebrates the giving of the Torah. So now Peter and all of these others, they realize this is what Jesus was talking about. It's no longer us trying to perform for the law. It's the Holy Spirit living in us to move us towards the shalom, that relationship that is wholeness. That's the best word to capture shalom, wholeness. Yes, it's peace. Yes, it's joy, contentment, balance, harmony. Wholeness. So as we start to kind of think about the 10 words and what was God's intent in giving us the 10 words, I want us to continue to just hold back for a minute before we jump into the 10 words and understand that this was a marriage covenant that God gave to the Israelites. It was not a list of rules. It was not a list of commandments. It was a wedding marriage covenant. And we talked last week about the difference between a covenant and a contract. A contract is, spell out what I'm going to do, and it spells out what you're going to do. And it spells out what the penalties or the punishments associated with me not performing or you not performing. But a covenant is done in love. A covenant is all about relationship. And if I enter into a covenant with you, with my wife, when we gave our marriage vows, I'm saying I will do my part whether you do your part or not. And you'll see as we study this that clearly God said, I'll do my part of this covenant whether you do yours or not. There are consequences when you violate our covenant, but I'm going to continue to love you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to let the consequences play out. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. But let me remind you again that when you do choose your sin, and there are consequences, at that point you can choose conviction or you can choose condemnation. And that is your choice, my friend. You can choose to live under condemnation, and you can choose for the people around you to live under condemnation, or you can live under conviction, which is a positive energy. It's I want to do better. I don't want to do that anymore. Not I got to. Not I'm in trouble. I'm living under threat. The 10 words were clearly a wedding marriage covenant in which God starts by saying, here's what I've done for you. I brought you out of Egypt. I gave you water. I turned bad water into good water. I brought you water. I'm feeding you. I performed all these miracles. this is my side of the covenant, and I'll never back away from it. Now, here's what it looks like to be in a marriage covenant, and he starts to spell that out for us. But let me back up a minute. I want to read you a few passages that just reinforce that the 10 words, what we call the 10 commandments, were a marriage, a wedding covenant. Exodus 6:7. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. That is marriage, wedding language. Exodus 19:4, at right before he gives the 10 words. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's marriage language. That's marriage, wedding, covenant language. Now, if you will obey me fully and keep my covenant, not contract, my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Listen to this, Jeremiah 2:2. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness. Hosea 2:7, which is all marriage, wedding, covenant language. She, Israel, will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first. Therefore, God says, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. That's wedding, marriage, covenant language. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. Do you see that? Do you see how important this is? Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. In that day, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. In that day, I will make a covenant for them. I'm still reading out of Hosea 2. In that day, I will make a covenant for them. Not a contract, a covenant. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness. Wow. Ladies, wouldn't you like for your husband to say that to you in his wedding vows? Wouldn't you like for him to say, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness. And then God says, and you will acknowledge the Lord. You see, the 10 words are not a list of 10 rules that you must do or must not do. It's a loving wedding covenant. It changes everything. Please stop and think about this. I want to shift your perspective and your paradigm from performance to pleasing, from willpower to joy power, from I got to I get from I need to I want to I'm living under threat if I don't perform, till I'm looking for holiness and harmony. Now God comes back in Jeremiah 3:6 and comments on what actually happened. And it's more wedding and covenant language. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me, but she did not, and her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. Do you pick the wedding language here? I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. This is during the exile to Babylon. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. So you see, it's all about a wedding covenant, about wedding language. Now, you know, when Jesus says to the people around him, to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, when they're nitpicking at him about performing miracles on the Sabbath, he said, if you had only understood the scriptures, if you had only known what I meant when I said, I want mercy and justice, not performance. I desire mercy, not sacrifices. You would have understood that this wasn't a list of rules and laws. Let me say again, I'm not going soft on sin. I'm not going soft on obedience. I'm trying to shift your perspective to joy power, not willpower, to positive energy. In Micah chapter 6, God concludes, as Jesus comments earlier, I have shown you, O man, what is good. In other words, what my teachings and my way to live mean, what they show. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's what the 10 words, the 10 commandments, the Torah is all about. Now, next week, we're going to continue to dig deeper into the 10 words, this marriage covenant, and understand the implications, the shift in our perspective and our paradigm. And in the meantime, may you experience the joy and freedom of living in the shalom of God's teachings and understand you're in a wedding marriage covenant with Him, not a contract of rules. I'm Sam Hunter, and this is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.
God shine a light on me, open up my eyes so I can see. When I look up in the darkest night, then I know everything is going to be all right.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Talk, His Radio Network, or the Radio Training Network.